John 19 and in Luke chapter 30 or 23 today. We don't have 32. So if you want to mark both those places, we're going to start in John 19. And then we're going to flip over to John 23. And then we're going to go back to John 19. So keep your place marked whenever we hop across. So. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for such a wonderful time of you. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you, Lord, that you are coming back to get us one day, Lord.
Amen.
Father, we've got a home that's so much better than this one. All the struggles and trials here, Father, will be done with. There won't be any more of these.
Yes.
And we know these are our fault, Lord. You meant for it to be perfect from the start, and we messed it up. But then you fixed it for us. You give us a way for it to be fixed, Lord. We just got to endure now this time that we're here, Lord, and do all that we can to bring others to you. So, Lord, help us to understand your word today. Help us to see what you've done for us, Lord, so that we can have a meal on fire to tell other people about the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to be talking about when Jesus went on this cross and what happened on the cross this morning. Remember this week, we're celebrating Jesus rising from the grave next Sunday, right?
Right.
And Good Friday's coming up real quick. This, a lot of people call it Palm Sunday, right? So this week, I hope that you think about it even more than you do normally. I hope you're normally thinking about it. But this week, even more so, as you see people around, and we got Easter Bunny stuff, and we got egg stuff, and we got all kinds of stuff going around, and try to help people to remember what the real reason is. I'm not saying there's anything wrong, have fun with the kids with eggs and all this, that, and the other. But at the same time, they need to know what it's really all about.
That's right.
It's like Christmas. Santa Claus is fun, but they need to know that Christmas is about his birth and Easter is about coming up out of the grave.
Amen.
But something had to happen. Something horrific had to happen before he could rise. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. Starting in verse 17 of John 19. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was not in the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. So Pilate had written in three different languages that this is the King of the Jews. Now the chief priest here is going to say, change that. Look what he said. Then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Now how many times have you heard in your life people say, well, Jesus never said he was the Messiah. Jesus never said he was the Son of God. Jesus never said he was. Jesus did say it. They knew he said it. They even say right here to Pilate, they said, no, he just claimed to be him. He's not him. I think Pilate knew the truth.
Amen.
That's what's really sad. I think Pilate knew what he was doing there because he tried everything he could not to do it, right? He even publicly washed his hands of the whole deal. I don't think he wanted any part of it, but he's right in the middle of it because somebody had to. Somebody had to do it. Then, or Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and they made four parts, and every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it. Which said, let's not tear it. Let's not mess it up, but cast lots for it. So they said, we're going to gamble over it. We're going to see who's going to win it, because this coat is too nice to cut up and split. Whose it shall be that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. This was foretold in the Old Testament. This is just one prophecy that was fulfilled. One of the meaning of who the Messiah was going to be. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, we know this to be John, right?
Yes.
He saith unto his mother, Mother, behold thy son. Then he said to the disciple, Behold thy mother. So what was Jesus doing? He was telling John to take care of his mama. That's what he was doing. You think Jesus didn't love his mama? Jesus loved his mama. Some people will say, well, he said back when she first got him to perform the first miracle that we see in the scripture, and Jesus says it's not time, right? He calls her woman, right? They say, oh, that's disrespectful. Well, it's not disrespectful. Y'all heard me call my wife that. It's not disrespectful. She is a woman. Right. And I'm proud she's a woman. Right? There's nothing wrong with calling a woman what she is. There's nothing wrong with that. There's no disrespect meant in it. Don't take it that way. Right here, he loves her and he says, Woman, behold thy son. He loves her. He's dying on the cross. And he's thinking about who's going to take care of mom. But he knows this disciple whom he loved, she's going to take care of mom. And from that hour, not from that day, from right then when he heard Jesus say, you take care of mama, he knew he had a task to take care of. And he knew he was going to fulfill that. From that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. See this? He didn't just say, I'm going to check on her every once in a while because she's my mom. No. He took her to his home and took care of her. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished and Scripture might be fulfilled, he said, I thirst. Now right here, let's look over in Luke. Now keep this place marked. Look over in Luke 23, because I wanted you to see that. I believe God wanted us all to see this personal side. Because it's very personal to want to take care of your mama, right? It is a godly thing to do. He says to honor our parents, right? But it's also a very personal thing when you put somebody else in charge of taking care of them. Let's start with verse 34 in Luke 23. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them. Now let's back up just a little. Verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Some of you may say, well, why is this saying the same thing it said over in John? Y'all need to remember that the first four books of the New Testament are four different viewpoints of Jesus' life. It's how Jesus lived, what Jesus did from four different viewpoints. So it would be like me, Brother Wayne, and Brother Dwayne, and Brother James, all watching something happen from four different perspectives. And when we tell it, it's not going to all sound the same because we're different people looking with different eyes, with different focuses. So we're looking at different things and we're all seeing the same thing, but we're not going to all talk about the same thing because some things are going to mean more to me than it means to them. Some things are going to mean more to them than it does to me. But when you get all four viewpoints, you can get a really good picture of what happened.
Amen.
You can really see what's going on here. So John, what was really, really important to him? I was just told to take care of mom. Now I've heard the one that I love is thirsty. You see what the way John sees Jesus? He's near and dear, close in love. Luke is a physician. Luke is more into details. Luke is more into what is the important thing going on right here. John is what's important to me because this affects me. I'm supposed to take care of his mama. And my master's thirsty. Now look what Luke sees. Because it's a little different. Verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. See, he sees the parting of the raiment. He sees all this. He don't pay as much attention to what Jesus has asked John to do. But he hears him saying,
from here on for the end of my life. He said, wow, this man is nailed to a cross, held out in front of the whole world, people calling him names, accusing him of all kinds of things, spitting on him, whatever they can do. And he's asking the Father to forgive them, for they know not what they do. How often do we see people around us doing things they ought not do? People doing things to us, and we hate them for it. We want to punish them when they deserve punishment. They deserve the wrath of God. And yet when Jesus is in that same position, Jesus says, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We've talked here lately about people not knowing their right hand from the left. We live in a world around us where I really truly don't think these folks even know what they're doing. I don't think they understand right from wrong. I don't think they want to either.
Amen.
But when Jesus looked out across the generations in the future, he seen us.
That's right, he did.
And he says, forgive them, for they know not. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them, deriding him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself. If it be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also marked him, coming to him, and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. Could he have saved himself?
Yes.
Yes.
Most definitely. He wouldn't even have had to do it. He could have just told him, I ain't gonna sick him.
Right.
And it'd have been over.
He wouldn't even have had to go to the tree.
No, he wouldn't have had to go to the tree in that garden. He could have wiped them out when they came.
Right then.
And they never even taken him.
And he still would have been Jesus.
Still would have been Jesus. He could have ascended from the garden.
Yeah.
Yep.
Instead of after he rose from the grave.
Yeah.
He could have said, I've been enough for these people. They're not deserving of it. They don't appreciate what I do for them. How many of you have ever thought that about somebody that's needing help? I don't need help them. They don't even appreciate it when I do help them. I've already helped them over and over and over. They don't deserve it. They ain't going to appreciate it.
That's right.
Why?
If you are holding a grudge against somebody today and you can't forgive somebody today, then you're not appreciating what Jesus done for you.
Amen.
There you go.
Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
When
as you get closer and closer to Christ, you'll be able to look out across people and say, you know, inside. Don't tell them because they're just going to get a bigger wall. But inside, I say, they don't even realize. They don't even know it. But God will forgive them if they go to Him. God can change their life if they'll go to Him.
Amen.
The superscription also written over him in letters in Greek, in Latin, and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. I've been in discussions with other pastors where this was a focus point here, and they wanted the conversation is about what Jesus has done for us, and they want to debate over what the shape of the cross was. That the cross didn't really have that upper part up there in that time. They had studied that time. If it didn't have that part up there, I guess he hung it on a skyhook. But something was holding this inscription over Jesus' head.
That's right.
It says, this is King of the
Jews. That is right.
And one of the malefactors, which was railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answered, rebuked him, and said, doth not thou fear God? This world today, when people are rebuking, or people are mocking, or people are aggravating God's chosen people, they don't fear God.
No.
They don't know who He is. They don't want to know who He is. They want to try to think He's not real. That's what they want to do, you know. It always reminds me, every time I think of it, it reminds me of being in a church up north. And
It was coming a snowstorm. The foyer was like ours, where you could see out through glass doors. And the cars, we had parked the cars before service, was all covered with a little layer of snow from just being in that service. That's how much it was snowing. I think we were in Whitworth, New Hampshire. I think it's the job we were on at that time. But the snow was coming down pretty good out there. And I was delivering a message, and I said, you know, we can all sit here and act like it's warm outside. We can believe it's warm outside. We can all go out in our shorts and our flip-flops and our go like we're going to go swimming. And believe it's warm. It's in the 90s. It's going to be hot out there. And when we walk out that door, we believe it. Until reality hits us in the face.
Right.
You can believe all you want, but if it's not true, then it does you no good to believe it.
That's right. Yeah.
But you can. There's a lot of people out there today that believe there's no God.
Yeah.
And one day they're going to be standing before Him.
That's right.
It's going to happen. It will happen. Everybody, every knee will bow.
Amen.
That's right.
So you'd be so much better off. You can give God the opportunity to bless you. If you will go ahead and bow a knee to Him today. Be one of His children today. Because He likes to bless His children. I've seen it in my life. I'm not saying He blesses us all in the same way. I'm not one of the people that will tell you, if you do this for God, He's going to do this for you. God is God. He decides who He's going to bless, who He's not going to bless, and how He's going to bless.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, from being a dad of 7 kids now, I'm telling you that when the kids are doing good, you want to bless them.
That's right.
Right.
And when they're not doing good,
you want to bless them again.
You want to bless them in a different way.
Yep.
You need to bless them in a way that maybe will teach them.
Right.
To do right.
Right. Right.
So, yeah. As a dad, it is the dad's responsibility to teach, right? And to coach, and to make sure they're going in the right direction.
Amen.
Do you think our Heavenly Father's going to slack on that?
No.
Our dad in heaven wants to make sure that we're doing right also.
Amen.
So if you do right, you give him a moral opportunity to be able to bless you. But if you do wrong, you give him an opportunity to correct you.
Yep.
It's your choice. But if you choose to ignore him, well, it's sad in today's world. In today's world, you can't say to people, think about how your dad would do. I grew up with an awesome godly dad.
Amen.
I really did. So I can relate to how my Heavenly Father would treat me because of how my dad treated me right here.
Man.
But we live in a world today where dads don't raise their kids.
That's right.
Moms don't raise their kids. They don't care a lot of them the way that they should.
Right.
But think about how if you had a great dad, how do you think he would treat you when you were doing wrong? And how he would treat you if you wanted to act like he didn't even exist? Even a godly dad, a great dad, if you treat him like he don't exist and you don't ever talk to him and you don't ever tell him about what problems you got, how can he help you with any problems? If you don't allow him in your life, how does he know how he can help you? If you don't allow God in your life, why do you expect Him to help you?
There you go.
You know, we need to realize who He is and what He does for us, what He can do for us. This one says, you don't even fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation. You realize me and you both are fixing to meet Him. We're in our last few hours, and you're not afraid of Him?
That's right.
And we indeed justly, for we received the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss. He's done nothing wrong. And you're going to aggravate him? We deserve the punishment we got, and we're fixing to face God. And you're going to spend this last few hours mocking somebody that's lived a good life, that's just trying to help people? You know, it's surprising, but look at the world out there today. They want to mock and they want to talk bad about other people when they got a lot of sweeping to do on their courts before they start
right.
talking about somebody
That's
else.
Right.
We all do, really.
Right.
And he said unto Jesus, Lord, why would he call him Lord? Why would this man on the cross beside Jesus call him Lord? He could have called him Master. He could have called him all kinds of different things. Everybody else was. But he called him Lord.
He had faith.
He had faith. He knew who Jesus was. And he knew Jesus was in favor, in God's favor, the Heavenly Father's favor. He knew that Jesus had did all kinds of miracles for people. And somewhere in there, he must have believed that Jesus is the one they said he was.
Amen.
He's seen that sign above Jesus, saying he's king of the Jews, and he believed.
Amen.
He said, this ain't mocking. This is truth right here. And he says, Lord, remember me when thou comest to thy kingdom.
Amen.
Amen.
He didn't ask forgiveness. He didn't think he deserved forgiveness. He already said it. That we indeed justly, we're here because we deserve it. He didn't feel like he deserved it. But he said, just remember me. Jesus said to him, verily, I say unto you, today thou shalt be with me in paradise.
Amen.
Amen.
Today thou shalt be with me. Not after you get to sleep. Not after you get baptized. Not after you say this magical prayer. That's what a lot of people think. You know, you got to do all these different things. But I want you to know, whether or not your name is written in that book in a life in heaven is not based on what's coming out of your mouth. It's not.
Coming out of your heart.
This man's heart was right.
Amen.
This man's heart, he saw Jesus as Lord.
Amen.
If you see Jesus as Lord today, I don't care what's coming out of your mouth, I don't care what kind of stickers you got on your car, or what kind of emblems you got on your purse, or your necklace, or whatever tattoo designs you got, I don't care. What does your heart say?
Amen.
Who does your heart say Jesus is? Do you love Jesus as your Lord?
Amen.
Do you feel guilty when you do wrong?
Yes.
Do you want to treat people right? Do you care about what Jesus says is right and wrong?
Amen.
He says, verily I say unto you, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour. So that puts it about noon. And there was darkness over all the earth about the ninth hour, until about the ninth hour. So about 3 hours. 3 hours it went dark. This is where Jesus says, why hast thou forsaken me? Father, why hast thou forsaken me? How can the Father? Y'all do know that Jesus is one part of the Trinity, right?
Yes.
Y'all do know that there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So how can Jesus feel like the Lord has abandoned him? How can he ask, where are you at? You're not hearing me. I'm talking to you, but you're not here. How can he ask that? I've heard people, preachers, growing up, say that this is where God the Father turned his head from Jesus. Can this head turn from this head?
Yes.
Have you ever did something wrong? There was a time in my life I couldn't look at my dad.
Mm-hmm.
A good look at him back. Y'all wasn't living right. I knew I wasn't living right. I felt like he knew I wasn't living right, and he never said anything. But I couldn't look at him out of that. He didn't know it would break his heart. That's what sins in your life. You know, Jesus had never sinned. And at this moment, at noon that day, all of my sins.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
All of my sins came to Jesus. And Jesus couldn't look at the Father in the eyes. Jesus, the sin, my sin, your sin, the world's sin, put a wedge in the heart of our Maker. That's why I'm in the dark.
That's right.
That's why all the light went out. Because now He feels what we feel with guilt and with pain, depression, anxiety. All these things that sin brings about in our lives, He takes them. The sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. We can carry sin for a long, long time. We carry guilt. We carry depression. We carry anxiety. We carry all that stuff because we're not as strong as Him. In 3 hours, He took on every bit of sin of all the world. 3 hours, He overcame it all. He said, okay, now I'm going to do what's got to be done. He tore that temple veil in half. Now, Gentiles and Jews both can come into the Holy of Holies. There is no place. There is no division. Everybody's the same. Now, I died for everybody.
Amen.
Everybody can be redeemed. Everybody is equal in my eyes today.
Amen.
And when Jesus had cried out loud, with a loud voice, He said, Father, into Thy hands. Why would He say that if the Father forsaken? He felt like feelings will get you in trouble. Feeling like it's warm outside when it's freezing will get you in trouble, right? Feelings will get you in trouble. Don't live your life by feeling. I feel like somebody don't like me. I feel like I did this, or I feel. Don't live your life by feelings. Go by facts.
Right.
Truth. Go by God's word. Don't. Too often we feel way too much. Too often our feelings and emotions carry things way down the trail that there was no need to ever go down.
Yes, sir.
We worry about things we shouldn't even worry about.
Right.
Worry about things that don't even happen.
Yep.
Right? We worry and worry and worry. Jesus come. 3 hours was enough for Him to do it. He said, that's enough. I know my Father has not abandoned me. I know He has not forsaken me. My Father's just as close right now as He's ever been. This sin is making me feel that way. And He said, I'm not going to live like this. And we shouldn't live like that.
Man.
What we've done in the past is in the past.
That's right.
Right.
You cannot change it. It's done. But you can do something different.
That's right.
You can do something different. From this hour.
Yep.
You get to make the changes in your life.
Come on.
And the Lord wants to help you. Your
That's
Father
right.
wants to help you. He wants to. He wants you on the right road. He wants you where He can bless you. He wants you making good decisions. And He'll help you get there if you will just turn to Him.
Amen.
He says, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, He gave up the ghost. He gave up the ghost. His spirit went right into the hands of the Father. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. He headed for paradise.
Amen.
Hey, I paid the price. I paid it. It's paid in full.
Amen.
I'm going on. When we finished our task here, we'll be able to go home. You will be able to go when you finish. But you won't be able to go to Him. He's not with you here. Now when the centurion saw what was done, this is a centurion soldier. When he saw what was done, he glorified God. Why in the world would someone that just nailed someone to a cross, his men anyway, glorify God? This is not a Jew. This is a Roman soldier. He sees all of this that was done, and he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man.
Amen.
I wonder how many people in his life he really felt like was a righteous man. Probably not many. probably not many at all. And when he's seen the way this man died, he had never seen a man die like this. Being a centurion soldier in the Roman military, he's probably seen thousands die. Probably at least hundreds on the cross like this. And he said, I've never seen this. This is a man of God. Why would he be happy? Because he just got confirmation that there is a God.
Amen.
Is
a God. Amen.
And there is something much better than all of us. There's something there that we can really hold on to. He knows him.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He knows it's real. That's why he glorified God. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, they smoked their breath. And they returned, oh, we did it. We did it. He's dead. This one that was causing us all the problems is dead. Can you imagine old Satan doing the same thing? All his demons probably just dancing around. We did it. The Son of God is dead. You know how foolish that is, really.
Amen.
They know anyone that God has created and breathed life into can never die.
Try.
Man, they know the one that created life and allowed death must have power over death.
Amen.
They can't be that stupid. They can't be. They gotta know that if there was really a death, when God cast them out of heaven, he wouldn't have cast them down to a beautiful earth. He would have killed them.
Sure.
They gotta know. This ain't over. But how many people in today's world throw a big party when they think that they won something little? And they go to celebrate. They're gonna do that in the middle of the tribulation period. When the two witnesses died, they're going, I say like past tense because I know it's coming.
Yeah.
Right? It's a fact. There's going to be two witnesses and they're going to be killed and the whole world is going to see it and the world is going to party over them dying.
Yep.
But they ain't going to be dead.
That's right.
There is no death. Y'all need to realize that God breathed life into man.
Right.
You will always be somewhere. Always. There is no complete death. There is no, you will never be nowhere. It ain't gonna happen. You will either be in heaven or you will be in hell.
That's good. That's
you, right. You, there is That's no not good. Being. There is none. God breathed life into us. So you will always be eternally living
somewhere or the other.
Or eternally dying.
Yeah.
You'll be in the process of dying but never able to complete it. That's what happens.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And they gotta know this. But it's just the nature of evil. They celebrate the little victories that they think they have. And all his acquaintances and the women that followed him from Galilee, they stood afar off beholding these. That's all these that are watching. Look back with me right quick over to John 19. Verse 32. Then came the soldiers and they broke the legs of the first and the other one, which was crucified with him. Verse 33. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already. Why was he dead? He got the ghost. It was done. He knew after those 3 hours of darkness that he took on all our sins. And he knew when he felt the Father again. It's done. I've paid it. I finished it. I ain't got to stay here any longer. I'm done. He gave up the ghost. So when they came to him, he was already dead. One of the soldiers, with a spear in verse 34, pierced his side, and forthwith came out blood and water, washing all of our sins
away.
Right on down into them rocks and dirt. Down there, it's over. They're done. Our sins are paid for. And he that saw him bear it record. And his record was true, and he knoweth that he sent truth, that ye may believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken.
That's
right.
And again another scripture said, they shall look on him who they pierced. Two more. of the Old Testament prophecies fulfilled right there by the piercing of his side. That's amazing. There is so much evidence of who Jesus is.
Amen.
In the scripture. And then you go stacking on the evidence in our lives. The things that we've seen, the things that I've seen, the things he's did for me, the things he's fixed for me, the blessings that he's blessed me with that I don't deserve. My family don't deserve. There's no way anyone can convince me that Jesus is not my Lord. No way.
Amen.
That's right.
And I hope if you don't feel that way today, you'll get on a path where you can.
Man.
You're on a path to where you can know that you know that you know that if I die right now, I'm going to be with him.
Amen.
Amen.
Today.
Amen.
You know that? There's no question. And if you don't feel that way, let me know. If you want to feel that way, come start worshiping more with us. Let's study together. Let's get to where we all feel that way. That's the whole thing. We need to grow. And iron sharpens iron, Old Testament tells us. We can grow together.
That's right.
Much better than we can grow up together. That old world out there, it'll get you distracted. It'll get you off track. It'll get you to where you're not even really thinking about who you're supposed to be.
That's right.
And that's just the trap old Satan has set. And he wants to snare you. So this week, think on what he's done. Think on what he did on that cross.
Amen.
We're going to talk a little bit tonight about where his grave was laid. Unless the Lord changes it. About where his grave was laid. So that we got the full day there. I like that. And next Sunday, we're going to come and worship him and rise up out of that grave.
Amen.
We're going to come praise and celebrate. So this week, try to spend a little bit of time. And when you hear people telling kids about the Easter Bunny and stuff, remind them what it's really about.
Man.
I know you're already a little long, but when I was out on the road working construction, one of the guys asked me why we wasn't going to work Easter Sunday. Because we were pretty close to being behind on schedule. And if we work Easter Sunday, we'd get ahead of schedule. We'd catch up and get a little past. And he was a young man. I mean, he was strong as a bull. Came out of the Marines and, I mean, he really was. He was a great, hard-working young man. Grew up in Upper Michigan. I told him, I said, I don't work Easters. I said, I have worked a couple of Christmases when things were really tight. I said, but I've never in my life worked at Easter, and I'm not planning on starting this year. I said, I celebrate my Savior rising out of that grave on Easter.
That's right.
And he said, what? I said, that's the day we celebrate Jesus rising out of the grave. And you know he got mad at a firecracker? He called his mama right then. Why didn't you tell me that Easter is about celebrating about Jesus? He had never in his life understood or been told what Easter was really about. How do you grow up, go off in the military, spend your time there, come back and still not know what Easter is about? If we don't tell people, they're not going to see it on the news.
That's right.
They're not going to see it in the stores.
That's right.
They're not going to admit, they can't see it at school now.
School shirt.
Where are they going to learn it?
Yeah.
If we don't tell them.
Right.
It's our job.
Right.
Don't feel like you're going to hurt somebody's feelings. Because you know what? Their feelings are going to get hurt over something if they get hurt over that, right? But at least if their feelings got hurt, and they learned something.
Man.
So that's a total waste, right? We, a lot of times we get our feelings hurt, they ain't learned nothing. Right? So don't feel like you're wasting time. Share with them. Or at least ask, hey, you know what Easter is really about? My Jesus came by the grave on Easter. My Jesus conquered death so we don't have to fear
Amen.
Death on Easter. Death lost its sting.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you do, Lord. We ask that you continue to guide us. Lord, forgive us for we fail you. Father, if there's somebody here that's never accepted you as Lord in their life, they've never really believed who you are and what you've done. Lord, I just hope they turn their life over to you today, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.